coming up. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Shloshim Yoyim Kodem Achag. You know, they say from the Tzaddikim that the 30 days leading up to Pesach, each day a little bit, the Tumah of Mitzrayim leaves us. You have an idea like that, a tradition that each day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to take us out of Mitzrayim in a second, even though we spoke about fast and slow the other week. But there's a sefer called the Chesed LaAvraham. So he says that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the 30 days before Pesach, each day HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out a little bit from each of the Sha'ar Tumah. And that way the Yetzahara doesn't realize that we're being completely transformed. But by the time we come to Pesach, we're mamish on a very high level. But these are days of transformation and days of tshuva. Okay, and I want to actually go back to a pasuk in Parshas Vayakel about one of the architects. Because this Shabbos, we just really kind of began to use the Mishkan, right? The eighth day, Vayhi Beyom HaShmini, the big excitement. We have a Mishkan, we have a Shras HaShchina, Hashem reveals himself, we offer Karbanos, Aaron HaKohen, Aaron's Kohen Gadol, his children are Kohanim, it's a Gavaldik Simcha. Okay, but let's go back to one of the builders of the Mishkan, and that is Bezalel. We find an interesting Lashon in Parshas Vayakel about Bezalel. Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Yisrael, Re'u kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor l'mate Yehuda. Very interesting. Re'u kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor l'mate Yehuda. Look how Hashem, Re'u, see how Hashem calls Bezalel by name. However, what's the inyan of being called by name? What's the inyan of being named, of being identified, that Hashem calls you by your name, that Hashem gives you your name? Obviously, every one of us, you know, we were given a name when we were little babies. But over the course of a lifetime, a person is trying to what? A person is trying to kind of prove his name, to justify his name, to make sense of his name, to make sense of his mission in this world. And specifically, like it says in Koheles, in Parag Zayin, Tov Shem Mishem and Tov. Tov Shem means a good reputation, a good name, is even more desirable than Shem and Tov. Shem and Tov is very expensive, Shem and Tov is very pleasing, but a good name is really the ultimate thing a person tries to achieve in this world. Right? There's the Keser Torah, there's Keser Kahuna, there's Keser Malchus, there's many crowns that one can wear in this world. But like it says in Pirkei Avos, V'keser Shem Tov Ola Al Kulan, or Ola Al Gabayan. The highest crown of all is the Keser Shem Tov, the crown of a good name. To have a good reputation, to live up to your name, means to live up to your potential. But if you look at the end of that pasuk in Koheles, Tov Shem Mishem and Tov, the end of the pasuk is V'yom Hamavis Miyom Hivaldo. Better is a good name than fine oil. And the day of death is more tov, is better than the day of birth. What does that mean? Why is the day of one's death better than the day of one's birth? So the Medrash tells us something which I think, you know, really captures the whole avoda of existence itself. The Medrash says, it's in Shemos Rabbah, the Medrash Rabbah on Shemos. The Medrash says, Re'u kara Hashem b'shem b'tzala. The Medrash quotes our pasuk. Look how Hashem identified Bezalel by name. Now again, Bezalel was still alive. So it's one thing for people, again, when you pass away, to talk about your name, to talk about your reputation. But it's another thing to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu sign off on your life while it's still unfolding. The Gemara tells a story of someone who was a Kohen Gadol for decades and then went off the Derech and then strayed from a path of Yiddishkeit. So every person, while our story is unfolding, we have to be a little bit nervous, right? Al tamen ba'atzmacha al yomoscha. Don't believe in yourself. Don't trust yourself fully until the day you die, because who knows? Just because I'm a good guy today, who knows what I'll do tomorrow to destroy my reputation, to destroy my values, to destroy my name. So says the Medrash, Re'u kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel. Notice how HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Bezalel by name. Hadehu dechsev, it quotes our pasuk, Tov Shem Mishem and Tov. Better is a good reputation than fine oil. What's the end of the pasuk? V'yom hamavis miyom hivaldo. The day of death is better than the day of birth. So says the Medrash, yom misaso shel adam gadol miyom leidaso. It's a funny thing to say, but better is the day of death, greater is the day of death than the day of birth. Why? Lama, why should that be? She v'yom shenoled bo. Because on the day a person is born, Ein Adam Yodeya Mamasov. We don't know what's going to be. We have high hopes. We have great expectations. You know, we have a simcha in our shir. For those who are a little bit more old school, Jamie Deckelbaum was blessed with a baby boy. Jamie and Hannah, Baruch Hashem, Chana Liba. So they should be zocha to raise their child. First and foremost, he should be zocha to bris milah, b'ito v'zmano. And they should raise him, and knowing his parents, he's going to be an awesome kid. Right? But there's a certain anxiety. What Chazal is saying is when a child is born, we don't know who this kid's going to be. We have absolutely no idea who this kid is going to be. What's his nature? What's he going to be like? What type of reputation is he going to develop for himself? What type of life is he going to lead? So on the day that a person is born, Ein Adam Yodeya Ma Masav. No one knows what's going to be. Aval Kishameis, Modia Maisav Labios. But when he passes away, so then we're able to say, look, now we know the whole story. Or as much as, you know, as much as anyone can know the story. Right? And this person was a good guy. This was a person who lived a meaningful life. So that's what Koheles, that's what the great wise Koheles is revealing to us. Greater is the day of death than the day of birth. And then Reb Levi gives a mashal. Reb Levi says, imagine there are two boats, shtei svinos, shahayu porsos liyam agadol, two boats that are setting off to sea. Achas yoytzeis min halamin, v'achas nichneses lalamin. One is leaving the port, and one is entering the port. Zoshi yotzeis hayu hakol smechen ba. Zoshi nechneses lo hayu hakol smechen ba. So the one that's setting sail, everyone's cheering for the ship, everyone's all excited for this great voyage, this great journey. And the ship, when it comes back, less fanfare. So there was a wise man who was standing by the port. Pikeach echad hayasham. Amar chilufei hadvarim ani roakan. He says, I don't know why people are so excited for the trip when the trip is just starting. We should celebrate when the boat comes back. Zo shehi yotzeis min alam, in this boat that's leaving the port, even though there's grand expectations of where it's heading, lo hayu akol tzvichen lismalach, no one should be so excited. She'enon yodin be'eza perek hiomedes. No one knows exactly what's going to be. Maybe the ship will sink at sea. Uma yama mizdavgin la, who knows what type of oceans and waves and challenges it'll face at sea. Umar ruchos misdavu asla. Maybe the ship will be capsized. Maybe there'll be terrible, tumultuous winds. Vizo shenechneses, but the ship that traveled the high seas and has returned to the port, hayu akol tzrichen lismalach, that should be a source of great celebration. Levishem yodim shenechneses b'shalom v'yatza b'shalom enayam. Because that's an indication that, oh, Baruch Hashem, it made it through. It survived the journey of the ocean. Kach Adam, so says Reb Levi, this is a beautiful mashal for life. Kach Adam nolad, monin lo lemisa. When a person is born, everyone's waiting to see what happens when he dies. Meis, monin lo lechayim. Va'alav amar shlomo, v'yom hamavis miyom hivaldo. So we're always watching a person's life as it unfolds. Right? Everyone's wondering what's going to be. But at the end of a life, hopefully then we're able to have a better assessment. So what was remarkable, again, about Bezalel, who was selected to serve as this awesome architect of the Mishkan, was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he was such a fine person that Re'u Kara Hashem B'Shem, Hashem referred to him by name. Hashem said he lived up to his name even in his lifetime. But again, this Medrash captures really the avoda of a person in this world. We're all trying to navigate the tumultuous waters of this world. And Neshama comes down to this world like the Vilna Gaon describes in Sefer Yonah. And we're trying to run away from our mission, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us, and it can be very complex. But by the end of the story, we hope that people are cheering for us when our neshama comes back to the Olam HaEmes. Okay, Reb Dovi, what do you want to say?
But Rob, you can say faket that when a person's life is finished, then I'm saying you're right for a person who had an extremely meaningful and do extremely good thing. But what happens for a person who maybe didn't necessarily live up to the name that he could have lived, and you should say the opposite, that it's sad that he's leaving. I'm saying he's got limited. Now he doesn't have any more opportunities to continue living up to his name. And when a baby's in the world, then you're right. There's that scary fact of you don't know where he's going to go, but at least he has the option
still in the game somewhere. Right. And we do celebrate, right? We celebrate the birth of a child, right? In the same way that people were celebrating, you know, the possibility of this ship as it leaves the port. So you're right, we do celebrate that possibility. We're excited about that possibility. But on a certain level, and again, it's a very real medrash, on a certain level, there's an uncertainty that hovers over every person's life, kind of until the end. But you're right. The person who didn't yet have the chance or didn't yet take advantage of the opportunity to do tshuva and then leaves this world, right, and now their time is up and they're no longer able to change their ways, that can be very painful and very, very sad. Yeah, that's a good point. There's definitely some truth to both sides of the equation. Okay, so let's talk about a certain tzaddik, one of the greatest tzaddikim of Jewish history, a heiligatana by the name of Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. Okay, in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach in the second parak is described as a ma'ayan hamizgaber. What is a ma'ayan hamizgaber? It means mamish, a ma'ayan, a body of water that is mizgaber, right? Like a wellspring that just keeps bubbling over and just flowing and flowing. He was a person who just, a ma'ayan hamizgaber is a term we use for a person who's growing and leaps and bounds. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was a huge personality. Okay, in Mayim al Torah, so a Mayan HaMisgaber is like a person overflowing with Ruchnias, overflowing with Torah, overflowing with Tzidkus. That was Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, Heilig HaMayan, a Mayan HaMisgaber. And so much so, it was said about him in Pirkei Avos that Im Hayu Kol Chachmei Yisrael B'Kaf Maznayim, if you were to put all of the great sages of Israel, the Jewish people, on one side of the scale, Ve'Eliezer ben Hurkanes on the other side, Machrias Kulam, he would outweigh everyone. Abishol Omer Mishmo, Abishol said, Im Yukol Chachma Yisrael B'Kaf Maznayim, if you put all the Sadiqim on one side of the scale, and you even put Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanes, the great Rabbi Eliezer, with them, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, on the Kaf Shnia, on the other side of the scale, Machrias Kulam. He would outweigh Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanes, who himself was as big as all the other sages in Israel, right, could outweigh everyone. But if you put Rabbi Lazar ben Arach against all the tzaddikim, including Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanes, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was the greatest. He would outweigh, so to speak, in the scales, if we could measure tzidkus, if we could measure holiness, if we could measure wisdom, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was mamish the greatest of the greatest. So much so that the Gemara in Chagiga tells a story about him. Okay, just to get a taste of who this tzaddik was. Who was this Heilige Tzaddik Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, I'm sorry, right, who would outweigh all the tzaddikim? So the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga on Daf Yodalid, where it talks about mystical things, tells the following story. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai she'erochiv ala chamor. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was once traveling on a donkey. Vayim ha'alich b'derech. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach mechamer achrav. And Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, who was his Talmud, was trailing behind. Okay, Amr lo, Rebbe, so he said to him, Rebbe, Shineli Perek Echad B'Maisa Merkava, teach me one chapter, give me one topic, introduce me to one element of the Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava is the deepest secrets of Kabbalah, the Maisa Merkava. Amr lo, so he says back to him, Lokach Shanisi Lechem, didn't I teach you? V'lo b'merkava b'yachid, elim ken ha'yachacha maven b'daito. Didn't I already teach you that when it comes to sharing Kabbalistic secrets, the secrets of Kabbalah, haven't I taught you that you can't even give it over to one person? You have to almost figure it out on your own. You have to infer it. I can't say it. I can't even say it over to you. Amr lo, so he says, okay, so fine. So Rebbe, tarsheni lomer lefanecha davar echad shelimadtani. Can I try to say something over about Ma'isa Merkava, and you'll nod along if I get it right. Do I have permission to try to say it in front of you? Amr lo amor. Yeah, so say, good. So miyad yard Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai me'al ha'chamor. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if we're going to talk such deep secrets of Torah, I better get off the donkey. So he got off the donkey. V'nis atif, and he wrapped himself in a talis. V'yoshav ala evan tachas azayis, and he sat down on a rock under an olive grove, under an olive tree. Amr lo Rebbe, so Rabbi Lazar ben Arach says, I feel bad, I didn't mean to trouble you. You're in the middle of traveling. We could have talked while we're walking. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, my dear Talmud, Efter ata doresh b'maisa merkava. You think I'm going to, I know what's about to happen. You're going to give the most unbelievable, you're going to be megalis secrets of Torah. So you're going to be darshaning maisa merkava, and the Shechina is going to be with us, Shechina Imanu. Umalachi Asharis Malavin Osanu, and angelic beings are going to come and escort us. Vani Erkav Alachamor, and I'm sitting here riding on a donkey. Miyad Pasach Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Pemaisim Erkava Vidarash. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach opened his mouth and began to darsh in Maisim Erkava, the deep secrets of the divine chariot. V'yarda eish min ha-shamayim, and immediately a heavenly fire came down. V'sivva kol ha-ilanos shabesada, and it surrounded. They were enveloped with this holy fire, surrounding all of the trees of the orchard of the field. Paschu kulan va'amru shira, and the trees themselves began to sing and dance. They began to sing songs. Mashira amru halu as Hashem in ha'aretz tininim v'chol tahomos eitz pri v'chol arazim haleluka. The trees started to sing. Nana Malach min ha'esh, a Malach began to speak from the fire. Va'amar hein hein ma'aseh merkava. This is ma'aseh merkava. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai u'neshaku al roisho. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got up and he kissed Rabbi Elazar ben Arach on the head. Va'amar Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael shenasan ben la'Avram Avinu shiyodei la'havin v'lachor v'lidros for ma'aseh merkava. How fortunate is Avram Avinu that he has such a descendant like a Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who's able to so beautifully expound with clarity, with holiness, the secrets of the divine chariot, the secrets of the universe. Yesh na'a doresh ve'ein na'a mekayim. There are people who give nice drashos. This is a very powerful line, Chavar. Look at this. Yesh na'a doresh ve'ein na'a mekayim. There are people who can say a nice Dvar Torah, but they don't live it. And there's people who are na'a mekayim ve'ein na'a doresh. There's people who live mamish, a beautiful life of Torah and mitzvos, but they don't know how to darshan it so well. They don't know how to say it over so well. But Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, mamish, a tzaddik, through and through, atano adoresh v'no mekayim, you know how to say it, you know how to give it over so beautifully, and it's so true to who you are, you live it. Ashrecha Avram Avinu, she'Elazar ben Arach yotza mechalatzecha. Wow. Praiseworthy, how fortunate are you, Avram Avinu, that Elazar ben Arach is numbered among your descendants. However, unbelievable, no? We're talking about a Tana, a student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who could outweigh all of the sages of Klal Yisrael, like it says in Pirkei Avos, who darshan the deepest secrets of Kabbalah and had the trees singing and dancing in Chagiga Daf Yodalid, had the angels saying, this is Pshat, this Tzaddik knows how to say Pshat HaMaisa Merkava. That he's no Dorish and no Mekayim. What an unbelievable person. But Chevra, like we learned in the Medrash, until the ship comes back to the port, there are no guarantees. So now we have to learn an exceptionally painful Gemara about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. It's a short little Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. It's very hard to read. It's very, very hard to read. After learning who Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was, this Heiligatana, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, it's very hard to read this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chelbo. It's Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Chamra defrogaisa umayad de diumsis kipchu aseras ashvatim mi Yisrael. The wine, chamra, the wine of frogaisa, and the waters, means the bathhouses, of diumsis, caused 10 shvatim to be lost from the Jewish people. In other words, a life of drinking wine and a life of indulging in the sauna, in the bathhouses, if Frugaisa and Deyumsis led the Jewish people, led a large portion of our people astray. In other words, Tanuge Olam Haza can destroy a person. Chasing the pleasures of this world can literally destroy a person, can destroy Shvatim. Too much wine, too much pleasure, plug in, whatever it is, your vices, whatever your taiva is, can destroy a person. And the Gemara tells the following story. That Rabbi Elazar ben Arach ikla lahasam. The Heiligatana, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, once found himself in that place. Imshach basarayhu. He was drawn after it. He drank some of the wine. They invited him to come sit in the bathhouses of Diumsis. Iakar Talmudei. And he forgot his learning. He lost his Torah. This tzaddik who darshan maisim merkava, this tzaddik who outweighed all the other tzaddikim, he lost his Torah. He got caught up somehow. He got swept up in Tanuge Olam Haza, in drinking wine and delightful bathhouses. And before you knew it, he forgot his learning. Ki hadar asa, when he came back to the Beis Medrash, when he came back to the community, Kam lemikre b'sifra. He got up to read the Torah. And it was, let's assume it was, again, it doesn't have to be exactly this way, but let's make it this way. It was Parshas HaChodesh. This coming Shabbos, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Parshas HaChodesh. And he got up to read the Pasuk. Bo lemikre HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. He got up to read HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. The starting point of Geulas Yisrael on a certain level. The first mitzvah that collectively we received as a people, making us Klal Yisrael. And instead of reading the words HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, he couldn't even read the Hebrew properly. Amar HaCheresh Haya Libam. HaCheresh Haya Libam. What's a Cheresh? What's a Cheresh?
Snake?
Nope, a Nachash is a snake. What's a Cheresh? A deaf mute. A person who's deaf. Hacheresh hayalibam. So he went from saying the most beautiful words, Hachodesh Hazel Lachem, the renewal of Klal Yisrael, the renewal of Chodesh Nisan, the newness of a life of Torah and mitzvahs, and instead he said what? Menachem Ephraim, what did he say? Hacheresh hayalibam. Their hearts became deaf. In other words, what he said was what? His ears had become clogged. His heart had become spiritually contaminated. Instead of being a tzaddik who was leading, right, a leading tzaddik in Klal Yisrael, he became someone who was so spiritually clogged that hacheresh hayalibam, that his heart, that his neshama, that his yeter tov was cheresh, was deafened. He couldn't hear Torah anymore. He couldn't hear the voice of Hashem in the world. He certainly couldn't hear our angels talking and trees singing. Hacheresh hayalibam. So his rabbinic colleagues were very concerned for him. Bo Rabbanon Rachame, the rabbis, you know, davened, requested Rachmanis for him. V'hadr Talmudei, they davened on his behalf, and Hashem, in his infinite kindness, restored his Talmud, he got his learning back. But look at this, here you have a person who is, you know, if you would have bet on someone not to stray from a life of Torah and mitzvot, so it was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. And yet look how he lost himself in some way. It's a very scary, it's a very frightening Gemara. If you look over there in the Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, so Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Gilyon HaShas has a little comment. And he says, in the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger writes, Ayin davar nechmad bikarnayim bilikutim shebesof hasefer. Rabbi Akiva Eger gives us a strange Mare Makom. He says, look in the Sefer Karnayim, in the Likutim, in the back of the Sefer, if you really want to understand the secret of HaCheresh Haya Libam and HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. Now, however, everyone knows that Rabbi Akiva Eger was, you know, Hagoyin Rabbi Akiva Eger, one of the greatest Talmudic giants of all time, but maybe we don't appreciate that Rabbi Akiva Eger knew also many secrets of Torah. And he sends us here to go find the secret of Torah. He says, go find the Sefer Karnayim and look in the Likutim in the back of the Sefer and you'll see something wondrous. So I happen to own the Sefer Karnayim. I have it right here. It's a very mysterious book. Sefer Karnayim is a tiny little Kabbalistic treatise, which is indecipherable. But there's a commentary on it called Dan Yadin by Rav Shimshon Meastropoli. Rav Shimshon Meastropoli was a holy tzaddik who was murdered, who died al Kiddush Hashem in the Gzeros of Tach V'Tat. A mamish, an unbelievable tzaddik, whose writings are filled with mysteries and secrets of Torah. And he wrote a commentary on the Karnayim, and that's probably what Rabbi Akiva Eger is telling us to look at. Now, we have other Svarim from Rav Shimshon Meastropoli, which will be even easier for us to look at. So, in fulfilling the directives of Rabbi Akiva Eger, we're going to look at Rav Shimshon Meastropoli's writings in his sefer called Nitzutzei Shimshon. Okay? So take a look in source number 8, the Nitzutzei Shimshon, in Parshas Bo, on the words HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. And we'll see unbelievable secrets of Torah. Okay? He tells us the following. He says, Isa Bitzfuni Tzioni. Okay, now, there was a sefer written a long time ago, also by a very heiliga and mysterious tzaddik, called the Sefer Tzioni. There's another sefer that he wrote called Tzifone Tzioni. Right? Tzafon or Tzafun. Tzafun is like a treasure. Tzafon means something hidden. Tzifone Tzioni means very secretive, hidden things. Okay? So it's a very mysterious sefer, but Rav Shimshon Meastropoli, who himself was a mysterious tzaddik, is going to try to give us some type of access to the secret of this gemara, this strange little gemara about Rav Elazar ben Arach. So it says in the Sefer, this is the name of a Sefer, Tzifunei Tzioni, Vizela Shono, Klipa Echad Nikra Riv. There's a certain klipa. The Sefer Tzifunei Tzioni is all about Shadim and Mazikin and Shemos. It's all mamish secrets from beginning to end. So he writes there, he says, there's a certain klipa, there's a certain negative kalach in the world called Resh Yud Beis. Ve'ima tof resh hei chayalos k'minyan aderes seyar. And it's accompanied by 605 legions, chayalot, I don't know, soldiers. It's accompanied this, you know, destructive malach, force, whatever you want to call it, shade, mazik, called Resh Yud Beis, is accompanied by 605 chayalos, which is the gematria of aderes. Like it says, Aderes Seyar. It says that Esav was wearing a what? An Aderes Seyar. Esav was born, he was cloaked, he was hairy. Right? Esav is Seir. Aderes Seyar. Aderes is Gematria 605. So this Malach, this Klipa, this Sitra Achra, whatever you want to call it, that's called Resh Yud Beis, is accompanied by 605 negative forces, legions, armies, soldiers, and that's alluded to in the word aderes. Okay, let's go a little further. V'klipa zu Resh Yud Beis, and this klipa that we call Resh Yud Beis, memuna lahashkiach uleakir torasso shel tamid chacham b'shas cholyo v'shocheach talmudo. Interesting. Says the Sefer Tzifuni Tzioni that this negative force, Resh Yud Beis, is assigned to cause talmidei chachamim to forget their Torah at a time of what? At a time of illness, when they forget their learning. See, the Chida explains in one of his svarim that there's no way that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach simply went to, you know, to these places to drink wine and to go to the bathhouses just for his own pleasure. It must be that he wasn't well, and the doctor told him, you need to go to one of these resort towns. You find, you know, in the period prior to World War II, there were many such places throughout Europe that big tzaddikim used to go. There's amazing stories of different tzaddikim meeting up. Rav Chana Wasserman met up with the Belzer Rebbe. He was in some, you know, some resort town, right, where there's fresh air and there's, you know, able to, tzaddikim also need to relax a little bit once in a while to clear their mind, to be able to recharge. So it must be that Rav Elazar ben Arach went to such a place and he drank the wine, as the Gemara in Bava Basra says, that can be healing for a person. And he took a nice, you know, bath, right? But there's a malach that tries to, there's a koach that tries to stop tzaddikim when they, you know, again, lefi madregasam, according to their high level, when they deviate just a little bit from their holy level, so there's a certain koach that tries to get them to forget their learning. So it was caused primarily by his illness, but his illness led him to this place, and because of that, this koach, this klipa, caused him to forget his learning. Okay, let's read a little further. I know it sounds very mysterious, let's keep going. It'll make sense, you'll see. Vashem hagadol hanikra chaf dalid taf hakosuv al metzcho shal Mashiach ben David mevatal oso klipa resh yud beis im chaylosei taf resh hei ad kan lishono. Says the Sefer Tzifuni Tzioni, there's a name of Hashem chaf dalid taf which is written on the forehead of Mashiach ben David. And that is the koach to fight back against Resh Yud Beis, this koach that tries to get us to forget our learning. Okay? Pretty mysterious, Chavra. Right? Only thing that jumps out at me when you start to think about it, Resh Yud Beis is Gematria 212, Chaf Dalet Taf is 424, so it's double the amount. But what's going on here? What exactly is the secret of what's going on here? So explains Rav Shimshon Miastropoli this very, very mysterious and cryptic comment from this very mysterious Sefer is the secret of the Gemara that we just learned. Rav Elazar was chalash, Rav Elazar was weak, and he went to this place, and he drank the wine, and he sat in the bathhouses, and he came back, and instead of saying, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, what did he say? HaCheresh HaYoliban. Explains the Holy Tzaddik Rav Shimshon Miastropoli, Uladati HaSod. V'lama dafka ta'us kazeh. Why did he make this mistake? V'sodo, and the secret is, ki hu kara mihadalid reish. Let's look at the words one by one. Instead of saying hachodesh, What did he say? Hacheresh. So he turned the Dalet into a Resh. Now, everyone here knows about turning Dalets into Reshes, right? Purim wasn't that long ago, right? No, we know about Dalet and Resh. So he turned, instead of the word Hachodesh, he turned the Dalet into a Resh. Instead of saying the word Hazeh, what did he say? Hacheresh Haya. He turned the Zion into a Yod. We don't know so much about that secret, but we can notice that the word Hazeh became Haya. And instead of saying Lachem, he took a Chaf and he turned it into Libam. Hacheresh Haya Libam. He turned the Chaf into a Beis. So Chevra, which letters did he change in the words Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem? He changed a Dalet into a Resh. He turned the Zion into a Yud, and he turned a Chaf into a Beis. Ah, that's Resh Yud Beis. That's the name of the Malach, of that Klipa, of that negative energy that causes Tzaddikim to forget their Torah. Okay, that's pretty good. L'ramis sheklipa hanikra Resh Yud Beis, hu hi garma l'shechachaso. It was this Klipa called Resh Yud Beis that caused him to forget his learning. What did the Sefer Tzifoni Tzuni tell us? That the way to fight back is with the name Chaf Dalid Tuf, which something has something to do, which is etched onto the forehead of Mashiach ben David. Okay? So he says, V'yesh l'das, Hacheresh haya libam b'gematria Tuf resh hey. Hacheresh haya libam. What's the gematria of Hacheresh haya libam? It's 605. Exactly 605. Because as we learned, the Malach, this Klipa, Resh Yud Beis, is accompanied by 605 soldiers. So this was like a perfect example. You took the greatest tzaddik of all time. You took Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who outweighed all the other tzaddikim, and you caused him to take HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is the starting point of mitzvos, the freedom of the renewal of Klal Yisrael, getting out of Mitzrayim. And he captured Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Resh Yud Beis, he caused him, first and foremost, to forget his learning. He forgot specifically these three letters, Dalet, Zion, and Chaf, to be able to say Hacheresh Hayalibam, that's Resh Yud Beis. And the gematria of Hacheresh Hayalibam is 605, which is the number of soldiers in Resh Yud Beis' army. So how do we fight back, Chaver? How do we fight back? So there's a secret, says the Sefer Tzifoni Tziuni, that on the forehead of Mashiach ben David it says Chaf, Dalet, Tuf. Now, we just had that word, by the way, in Megillas Esther. Anyone remember that word in Megillas Esther? What happened at Achashverosh's party? What does it say? It says that the shtia was kedas. The drinking was kedas, in accordance with the law. There's a big secret there also. It has a lot to do with this. We're not going to go back to Purim right now. But this name is written, this shame of Hashem, is written on the forehead of who? Of Mashiach ben David. So take a look at this. He says, what's the gematria of HaChodesh Hazel Lachem? What's the gematria of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? So HaChodesh is how much? 317. Hazeh is 17. Lachem is 90. What's the total? 424. 424 is the gematria of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the first mitzvah ever given to the Jewish people. But there's one more step, Chavra. What's the gematria, says Rav Shimshon Yastropoli, of Mashiach ben David? Mashiach ben David is also gematria 424. So what's happening here in this very sad Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, and Rabbi Kiva Eger says, go check this out. You want to hear a secret? Go find the Davar Nechmad. You'll see a beautiful thing in the back of the Sefer Karnayim. He's referring to this teaching of Rav Shimshon Yastropoli. There's a negative force in the world that's trying to take you away. It doesn't matter how strong you are in your Avodas Hashem. It doesn't matter how good you've been. There's a koach in the world that's always trying to get you to forget everything, to throw the whole thing away, to forget Hashem, to forget your Torah. It's a malach called Resh Yud Beis, and he comes with what? With 605 klipos to try to create Hacheresh Hayalibam, Begamatria 605. But if we remind ourselves that a Jew lives in a world called HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, 424, Gematria Mashiach ben David, so then we're able to fight back. And he ends the piece, he says, one of the slichos that we say, one of the piyutim that we say, right, we always dive into Hashem, we say, Asay leman dasach. Hashem, you should save us, you should forgive us, you should redeem us, leman dasach. Dasach is 424. In the schus of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, in the schus of Mashiach ben David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, have rachmanas on us and save us. What is the name that we give to a person who is worthy of such a title in Torah? We call him a Rebbe. Look how the word Rebbe is the same letters as Reish Yud Beis, right? Because as the Chida explains in one of his Sfarim, again, the enemy is always trying to take a Rebbe, a Reish Beis Yud, and turn it into what? Into a Reish Yud Beis, a Riv. A Riv means a Machlokas, a Riv means a spiritual breakdown, or as we're learning here, a Riv means what? Taking HaChodesh Adel Lachem and turning it into a Cheresh HaYaliba. And the Chida in his Sefer Pesach Enayim on that Gemara and Shabbos says a similar thing. Again, he goes through this teaching from Rav Shimshon Master Poli. But I want to end on a very practical note. I want to end with a Kotzker. I want to end with a Vart from the Halakha Kotzker. Okay, there's a lot more to say about, again, this whole Inyan of HaChodesh Shalachem and HaCheresh HaYalibam, and how it's Aderes Seyar, how Esav represents a certain Aderes, a certain cloak, a certain superficiality that surrounds a person. There's even a pasuk in Zechariah. There's a pasuk in the Navi Zechariah. The Navi says, where's the pasuk? Hold on, give me 1 second. Yeah, in Rav Shimshon Master Poli, in one of these other Sfarim, it says, pasuk in Zechariah and Perek Yud Gimel, V'lo yilbishu aderes seyar. You will no longer wear the aderes seyar, which again is the garb of Esav, Laman kachesh. Laman means so that, kachesh, so that you will deny or deceive. That was what Esav was all about. He was always tricking Yitzhak Avinu into pretending that he was a big tzaddik. So Laman kachesh, she says, kachesh is the same letters as shachach, right? The forgetfulness. Again, this klipa that tries to undermine all of our success. I was listening, Rav Moshe Weinberger was in the neighborhood the other night. He did something with NCSY and like 400, 500 teenage boys. It's on Yitar if you want to listen to it. It's very beautiful. And he was talking about how he has a whole list of people who are struggling or have in the past, I should say, struggled with different addictions, whether it's alcohol or whether it's drugs or whether it's pornography or whether it's just anything that they're gambling or whatever it is, things that they've struggled with. And they want to have a Rebbe, because when you're Mekushar to a Reish Beis Yud, right, it helps you not to forget what you're trying to do. So Weinberger says he has people who text him on a daily basis. They text him a number, how many days it's been since they've been clean from whatever it is they're struggling with. Right? 33 days, 34 days, 53 days. Right? And then he says that once in a while, what happens, unfortunately, is he doesn't hear from someone for a couple of days. And he reaches out and he checks in and he says, Nu, what's going on? How are we doing? He said, he shared that there was someone who was over 1,500 days. And then all of a sudden, he disappeared one day. And Rav Weinberger checked in and said, Nu, what's going on? How are you doing? And he said, he sent him back a crying emoji. Right? As if to say, you know, everything was lost. Here I was, I worked on myself for so long, and the whole thing fell apart. And Chevra, there's a part of us that when we read the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, we feel like if this tzaddik can't get it together and keep it together, then we don't have a fighting chance. But the whole avodah of Parshas HaChodesh, what I'm trying to share with you today, as much as that Gevaldik Ramazim from Rav Shimshon Master Poli should make our minds spin and should help us to believe in the Pnimius HaTorah, but what I really want to share with you more than anything else is this last source, a tiny little teaching from the Kotzker that's hard to understand what he's even saying. But take a look at the final source. He quotes this Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin of Rav Elazar ben Arach. This is from the Sefer Emes V'Amuna, a collection of teachings from the Holy Kotzker. And we know that again, Rav Elazar ben Arach turned HaChodesh Hazel Lachem into HaCheresh HaYaliba. So said the very deep and holy and Emes de Kotzker, Amar Rabbeinu Zatzal. Rav Weinberger said to this fellow, after he, you know, fell from so many days of working on himself and trying so hard to overcome something, Rav Weinberger said to him, right? Weinberger said to him, you're a tzaddik. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and we're going to continue. He said, we're not going to start from zero again. He said, we're going to continue from whatever number we're up to. We're going to put a little asterisk. We'll put a little, you know, note. Like, realize, okay, it wasn't 2,000 straight. It was 1,500 and then another 1,500. You know, it wasn't, okay, so make a note. There was something happened here. But it doesn't take away from everything that you were trying to build. It doesn't undermine. It doesn't make all of your efforts nothing. Amru Rabbeinu Zatzel said the Holy Kotzker, Af al pi, Shacheresh hayalibam, af al pi chein, hachodesh hazeh lachem. However, I love this Torah. They don't even know what it means. What does it mean? What's he saying? Even though your heart is deaf, even though your heart is numb, nonetheless, what does that mean? Who wants to say a pshat? Yeah, go for it. Avraham will go for it.
It's that even when you do mess up and make that mistake or veer from the path, in essence, there's two things. Like, in essence, it's really not veering from the path, and you can pick yourself up.
That's right. Even though it seems hacheresh hayalibam, it seems that I've numbed myself from whatever it is. You know, this avera has caused me to not know how to start again. But the avera dafka, in a very mysterious way, and I'll say this with great sensitivity, the avera itself creates the possibility of a fresh start. Right? Because until you mess up, there's no starting point. You're in the middle of the journey. The avera itself creates the hacheresh, in some mysterious way, the hacheresh hayalibam. How deaf were we in Mitzrayim? How mute were we in Mitzrayim? How numb was our heart in Mitzrayim? Right? What does Moshe Rabbeinu say about Klal Yisrael? Mikoytze ruach mi'avod akasha. The Jewish people, they can't even hear me. They don't know what I'm saying. They don't know how to cry out to Hashem. There's a galas hadas, there's a galas hadibur. Our ears are clogged in Mitzrayim. Right? Our ability to hear the voice of Hashem in our world through our ears or through our heart, whatever it is hacheresh hayaliba. The 605 soldiers of Reshut Beis' army has gotten the better of us. And we're not sure how to move forward. But says the Holy Kotzker, you have to know how to make hacheresh hayalibam back into a chodesh zalachem. Or that even when a person feels hacheresh hayalibam, afal pichem, nonetheless, the Torah comes and declares hachodesh zalachem, gematria Mashiach ben David. A Jew has to figure out how to push forward. And to not forget the main thing, which is what? That a Kodesh Baruch Hu believes in you. So even though we sometimes don't believe in ourselves and we mess up and we feel like, ugh, hacheresh hayalibam, I'm so numb, I'm so deaf, I'm so not feeling it. There's no sense of genuine hischadshus in my life. But the opportunity of Achodesh Zelachem presents itself dafka to a person who is Hacheresh Hayalibam. And that's how we push back. You could look at Rabbi Elazar ben Arach's story and you could say, oh, Nebuch, look how this great tzaddik fell apart. There's no chance I'll ever make it. Or you could say the opposite. You could say, you know what? It's a very human story. Even big tzaddikim mess up sometimes. Even holy tzaddikim like Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who we never could have thought would do such an avera. Something happened. And again, the Chida says he was sick. He had to go to that place. You know, the Yetzirah took advantage of him when he was weak, when he was physically weak, and caused him to become spiritually weak. That happens also. But the reality is that afal pi shacheresh hayalibam, afal pi chein, hachodesh zelachem. So chevesh, we should be zocha. It should be a strong week of Torah for us. For our shiur, we're making hachanas for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, haba aleinu letova. We're entering into the world of Pesach. It's mamish, a time of complete renewal. The weather's starting to get nice. I even see out my window, I can see some flowers starting to poke their heads out of the ground, you know? They looked like they were so dead all winter, but now they're proving that no, HaChodesh is Alachem, they're still alive and still going strong. And Amir Tzashem, you know, we should be inspired. We shouldn't be broken. We shouldn't be saddened by the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. But we should be very much uplifted by his willingness to what? To get back on track. And he had good friends who were davening for him. He had other rabbis who davened that he should have a refuah shleima, he should get his Torah back. But we should know. We should know that, you know, on the one hand, we have to always be guarded. No one is ever 100% safe. It's a complicated world. Until the boat comes back to the port, no one knows how our neshama is going to do in this world. But at the same time, even when we mess up, we have to believe in that a power and that gift of HaChodesh Zalachem. All right, any closing thoughts? Rip Sam, you want to say something? You have something to share? A feeling? A thought? You're still muted. Can't hear you.
Rob. Rabbi?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at the Reifman's yesterday for Shabbos lunch. And Chana actually gave more of the story.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
And it's even crazier.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, they were on a women's mission, and, like, part of the women's mission was to meet Rabbi Kanievsky.
Okay.
And they were, like, sitting around in their apartment, and then, like, One of the women was using the facilities and, like, accidentally, like, the toilet broke, and there was this whole thing. Like, it wasn't her fault. It's just, like, a whole thing. And this other woman was, like, helping her out and, like, embarrassed that, like, she was, like, having to deal with this whole thing. So that's the first part. And then there's the whole story with the baby, that they go to the bris, and Hannah was sitting next to Revitz Kanievsky, and the baby's crying, and another pacifier, and they, like, bring the baby over to Revitz Kanievsky, and she says, "You're a yid, like, the vaults, like, it should be great," like, and then the baby's just quiet. And then the second woman, who is, like, feeling embarrassed for the first one because she was, like, trying to help and everything, she was, like, getting onto a bus and, like, in all the commotion, all the chaos, and this one woman, like, walks up to her, and she's like, "Tzedakah, tzedakah, like, please, can I have tzedakah?" And she just, like, reaches into her purse and, like, just fumbling for something, like, she finds this envelope, which she sees has a little bit of cash in it, and she gives it to the woman. She gets on the bus, and then, like, the bus is about to close, this woman runs on, like, crying and, like, giving her a huge hug, like, "Thank you so, so much," like, it's, like, the most, like, todah rabah, like, this whole thing. And it turned out that that woman was the mother of the child. It was her son, like, 13th baby. She had just gone to Ravison Kanievsky afterwards, and she said, like, "I really can't afford to have this child, like, I'm going to have to give him away for adoption." And Ravison Kanievsky said, like, "Don't worry, like, Hashem will provide." And, like,
oh, wow.
She said, like, her husband would have been whatever. And then, momish 5 minutes later, she gets to the bus, and this woman gives her this envelope, which, even crazier, she didn't realize what she was giving. Turns out, she was bringing a security deposit for one of her friend's homes in Israel.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
You can only take, like, a certain amount. So she gave this woman $10,000.
Whoa, that's crazy.
And like, which is, like, enough for her to support this child in addition to everything else.
Wow.
And then the story, like, got back to Angola. Like, they raised the $10,000 to make sure that this woman can also get the security deposit.
Right, of course.
But it was just, like, mamish mina shamayim.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Absolutely incredible. Like, moments after she had gotten the bracha from Ravitz Kanievsky, like, this woman just gives her $10,000.
Wow. B'zchut ha-tzadikim. Wow.
B'zchut ha-tzadikim. Wow.
Yeah. And then the one woman who had accidentally broken the plumbing, her plumbing had started breaking at home in Englewood. And so she spoke to Khan. She's like, "Oh, no, I think this is, like, Mida Kenegan Mida for me breaking the Kanievsky's bath." And she's like, "Give the Shemashim a few $100s and, like, don't worry, it'll be fine." And then the woman said to Khan, like, years later, like, she hasn't had a problem with plumbing since then.
Wow, okay. Baruch Hashem.